Last Sunday, we turned to Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked about the church. And I said at that time that we, on this Sunday, would turn to the same scripture, but with a different sermon. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to follow with me so that you will verify with your eyes what I'm saying. Because I want to talk to you men about the five most wanted men in King City. And believe it or not, they're right here. And I think you will agree with me. But ladies, don't close your ears because you may want to listen too. And then we want the ladies to come next Sunday when we direct our attention toward the ladies. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writes some very, very significant words. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkled or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Last Sunday we spoke about the church from these same scriptures, and we saw the analogy of where Paul is wanting to upbuild the church, and he expresses it in the symbolism of which the people were familiar, namely a marriage. And so today we want to take the same scriptures and apply them as they can be so interpreted to the husband. The five most wanted men. The first man is this. It's the man who finds a wife. Verse 31 and verse 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, the two shall be joined together as in one flesh. It is a beautiful thing when, through this mystical terminology of love, like as yesterday we saw in the sanctuary, two people come together in holy matrimony. They have found each other. They wanted to get married, and now they live as husband and wife. But it's not my standing before them that made them husband and wife. It was their choosing together to be husband and wife. And to you who are married, you must choose each day to be married. When you find your wife, husbands, then you must each day choose that woman to be your wife. Every single day. It is a continuing process. And Paul says that there is great, great reward for the man who finds a wife. So the first wanted man is a man who finds a wife. Secondly, the man who loves his wife, because all husbands don't love their wives as they should. Look at verse 25, verse 28, verse 29. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever hates his own flesh, but he feeds it, he exercises it, he takes care of his own body. And this is the way that the husband should do likewise to his wife. God is looking for men in this church, married men, who want to love their wives. And the model for the husband to imitate is Jesus, who loved the church. He loved the church, of which you are a part by faith. And loving that church, giving himself for it, he is saying that husbands today should so love their wives. I don't think, fellows, that we are in danger of loving our wives too much. I'm sure the ladies could have something to say about that. We are in no danger of doing this unless we love our spouse more than we love Jesus. And then it could be wrong. But we're in no danger, I feel confident saying, at least for myself, of loving our wives too much. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. This is to the extent of even dying for your wife, if need be. Wow, you really think you'd do that, guys? Die for your wife? Well, I hate to be put to the test, Nancy, but I think you might be too. Jesus loved the church so much that he died for the church. And men, you are to love your wife and even give your life for her. If you're in the middle of the ocean and that luxury liner that you're on with your wife sinks, and there's only one plank left, you are to give that plank to your wife. You are to love your wife and give your life for the wife if necessary. And you have one object in life as a husband, and that is to promote the salvation of your wife. If your wife is not saved, then you have as one great objective to promote the salvation of your wife. If the husband has the spirit and self-denial of the Savior, he will regard no sacrifice too great if he can promote the salvation of his wife and his family. Jesus says, men, love your wife. Love her. Find out what pleases her and do it if at all possible. Love her. Love your wife. Are you a great lover, men? Somebody said it in these words, a great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman all her life long and be satisfied by one woman all his life long. That is the way love should be. A dog goes from woman to woman, but Jesus says we are to love our woman. We are to love her as Christ loved the church. This means being sensitive to the things that hurt her. It means coming home and listening to her and sharing experiences with her. It means even like Hosea, whose wife went astray, he was commanded by God to go down to the village square and buy his wife back, who had gone into adultery, and he paid the price. He bought her and brought her back home. And I can see him now as he has his arm around her, walking her back up the village to their home that maybe overlooked the town. And the people saying, wow, look what he's doing. He went and bought the harlot back. And Hosea, in this symbolism, shows what God is going to have to do and is doing to bring back, buy back, restore unto himself Israel. Now, God says through Paul, love your wife. And someone said, that is the husband in the role of the Savior, loving his wife, going the way of the cross, allowing God to deal with his own self-life so that he can bring to his family the help, the strength, and the authority which it needs. So men, we must love our wife in this way. And we must be able to let God deal with us so that we can be in a position to be the Savior of our family. A third man that God wants is a man who sanctifies his wife. It follows along these lines. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. Men, God is asking us to help our wives become holy. They need our help. We have an obligation to help our spouse become holy unto God, holy to the Lord. And this means holy a person in every respect. I want my wife to become the woman that God wants her to be as she has been so created to be. Intellectually, emotionally, culturally, sexually, domestically, in every other way. And when we realize that we have been given our wives to care for them, to sanctify them, then we want our wives to become all that God wants them to be. And we have an obligation to do this. And then we've discovered our calling as a husband. Fourth, the man who heads his wife. Verse 23 and verse 24. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. God wants the man to be the head of the wife as it is scripturally proclaimed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, "For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." We have under us a woman who is to look up to us and to listen to us, and we are to lead our wives. Men, we are to lead the wives. The wives aren't to lead the men. This happens in families made up of our church members, and it's unscriptural. And this may be one reason why God is not blessing your family. The husband is the head, and the wife is under the husband. Now, if by chance the husband is out of line with Jesus, then the wife has got to go around and follow Jesus, lest she be led astray. But she is to be submissive to her husband according to the Word of God. It's like the story I read last week where the coach told the football team what to do, but when the football team got out in the huddle, instead of listening to the person in charge, there were several guys who had ideas what they should do, and they all said what we ought to do. So when the huddle broke, the people went on the field, they all went in different directions, they lost the ball, they lost the game, because there were too many captains. Now, the captain of the house is Jesus, but under Jesus is the husband, and under the husband is the wife, and under the wife and husband combined, the children. Headship functions to get the job done. And there's a job to be done by the families of our church, but sometimes there are too many captains. Now, men, don't go home and tell your wife if she's not here, "Well, the pastor told me that I'm to head you up. Now, you listen to me, and you're going to do this. We've got this TV program we're watching this afternoon, and I want this for supper, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this." That is not the tone of the scripture. It's very quiet. Four letters, L-O-V-E. The basis, men, is love. It's not control. It's love. Number five, in verse 27, the man who presents his wife. That he might present it to himself, as the scripture talks here about the church, Jesus is saying that the church is the bride. And so the husband is to present his bride to himself. He is to present his wife. And the only way we can do that is to read in Galatians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them." Husbands, love your wife and don't be bitter against them. Well, these are the five most wanted men in King City. That is the man who finds a wife, the man who loves his wife, the man who sanctifies his wife, the man who heads his wife, the man who presents his wife. And as Christ guards the church, so the husband guards the wife. You men, you are a guard for your wife. You are to embrace her and hold her, and you are to caress her, and you are to just let her find in you all of the safety that can be afforded. Because in the world, she doesn't have this. Only with you, and God has given the two of you. That is, you are to protect your wife. You are to provide your wife. And men, you are the lord of your castle. You are the lord of your castle. But this takes with it a lot of responsibilities. You've got to drop that gate down and up over the moat. And you've got to keep the people out that bothers your wife. And by that, I'm saying you must keep out the influences that distract your wife from being what she is to be in all of her fullness. That is to say, you are to protect her. The story I read went like this. The little girl was fussing with her mother, and she said, "Oh, you dummy." And at that time, the lord of the castle walked in. And he said, "Who's a dummy?" And she said, "Oh, I'm a dummy, I'm a dummy." But she had called her mother a dummy, and he knew that. And the girl said, "I learned a lesson then that my father was going to take up for my mother. And I couldn't get by with anything. And I learned something greatly that day that helped me as I grew up and became a woman and became married. The husband is to protect the wife from all words and influences within the home and without the home that would hurt her. And the reason for that, gentlemen, is that you are a husband. And the word husband means band around the house. You are the band around your house, fellas. And you have a tremendous obligation, as I do, and we can't do it alone. We can only do it with Jesus' help. Well, our text, gentlemen, comes from 1 Peter 3:7. And it reads like this. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, even as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me repeat. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wife according to the knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want to be and strive to be in that category of the 5 most wanted men in the city. And I think you do too. So let's stand as we ask God's blessing to that end. May we? Father, we pray a very special blessing upon the husbands who are present this morning. We have looked at some material about the church. We've looked at some material about the husbands this Sunday. It's a very grave subject that needs to be given great consideration. We ask your divine blessing upon each husband present, that you would touch them now mightily by the power of the Holy Ghost to help them fulfill the role as a Christian husband in their family. We're thankful that it's possible through Jesus, and this is our prayer, Lord. Amen. As we sing this concluding hymn, Trust and Obey, if you're seated next to your wife, you husbands may want to just look over to them just for a moment and hold their hand or tell them, yes, I'm going to try, and that this is going to be a hymn of your dedication to that cause. But it's also a time when we can make a public profession of our faith in Jesus, which is the most important thing. That's the important thing, being a Christian, belonging to Jesus. And so if you're not a Christian, why not say, Jesus, I want to become a Christian right now. And step forward and let us know, regardless how young or how old you are. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This would be a great place for you to live, to grow, and to worship the Lord. And if the Lord speaks to your heart, you might come forward and make that statement known too. Maybe you want to come and sit in the Help Wanted chairs and have people pray for you. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. There are a lot of things we could do. And so as we sing this hymn 297, we pray that the Lord would give you the strength to do and to make that decision at this time.